France in 1689 was a different place. It was a century before their famous revolution, where guillotines rather than God determined who was to be king. And those kings ruled over the law, rather than the law ruling over the king. You were lucky if you were in the upper, more aristocratic class. Then you didn't have to worry about so many social rules, because more than likely, your family determined those rules. Not many of the line of King Louis of this time were fondly remembered by most. So imagine for a moment being given the opportunity to help shape and mold the character of Louis, Dauphin of France. This is exactly the chance that François Fenelon, Archbishop of Cambria, got in 1689. The boy, Louis, was 7 years old at the time, and already described as an ill-tempered, spoiled, violent child. So when Fenelon decided to take the job as his tutor, he realized that he had a chance to shape the mind of a possible future king of France. And what better way to do that than through telling the young child a story? The story that Fenelon wrote was called Les Aventures de Télémaque, or The Adventures of Telemachus. You might recognize Telemachus as the name of Odysseus' son, from Homer's The Iliad and the Odyssey. And much like Odysseus' journey home, an adventure fraught with cyclopses, giant women, sirens who sang haunting melodies that draw sailors to crash their ships upon rocks, and even a rebellion in his homeland of Ithaca, Finland's Telemachus went on a similar journey in search of his father. Arriving on the Isle of Queen Calypso, he and his teacher, a man named Mentor, had a series of adventures that Finland used to teach the young French Dauphin about morality and the virtues of a good king. So Finland repurposed characters from antiquity and set out to teach the young Louis morality and temperance. The Jackson family had an item that has been on its own journey as well: the wallpaper that lines the vast entrance hallways of the Hermitage. You see, humans aren't the only things that can go on adventures or odysseys. Everything that travels has a story to tell, whether it can speak that story verbally or not. Every ship that carried it, or every wagon or man that held it, the Jackson's wallpaper had its own story. And the most interesting part? This isn't some normal, run-of-the-mill wallpaper filled with flowers or other generic patterns. It's an elaborate painting, telling that same story that Fenelon wrote all those years ago. It's beautiful blues depicting the skies just above Calypso's island, or the bright yellows and reds of all the togas of all the young women surrounding Telemachus as he and Mentor land ashore. The soft white sand of that beach, and the shining golden tops of the gazebo with a stone carving of Cupid sitting atop it. In the lower and upper halls of the Hermitage, from the east wall wrapping all the way around onto the west wall, and back to the beginning, the wallpaper depicts that same story. But before it could tell its story, it had an odyssey of its own to travel. Now, imagine yourself in Rachel Jackson's situation. It is 1819, and your husband, who was often gone now that the state had given him a militia and charged him with many missions all across the new country. In 1804, Angie and Rachel moved into the land that would become the Hermitage. It was enough land to farm and house the farmhands, enough land to ride horses comfortably in or children to play in, land that came with a fresh water stream nearby. It was enough land to build yourself a house on, and not a log cabin like the two of you had been living in before. No, this was to be a mansion. What better way to complement the brand new mansion they were building than with wallpaper showing your favorite story about Greek myth? And that's exactly what Rachel Jackson did. She ordered it straight from Paris. She trusted that if someone had taken the time to make wallpaper telling the story of Telemachus, then they probably loved the story just as much as she did. She paid $131 for it, which in today's money is $2,736.25. Can you imagine spending over $2,500 for wallpaper? But wallpaper meant something very different back then. It showed class. After the money was sent, the paper was printed and shipped off. Back then it was stamped, really, not so much printed. Wooden blocks about a foot in size had the design of the wallpaper and would stamp it onto the canvas. But nevertheless, its journey began. Rachel did not get to enjoy her wallpaper for very long, though. She died of what doctors at the time said was a broken heart in 1828. And 6 years later, the second floor of the mansion caught fire. Someone was putting out the fireplace, and an ember rose up to the wood, roof, and caught it aflame. Smoke and water thrown from the buckets of men trying desperately to save the Hermitage caused considerable damage in the downstairs wallpaper. But Andrew Jackson knew that he wouldn't give up on his wife's home. He always said, after all, this was no one else's home but Rachel's. So he rebuilt the second floor, sought out duplicate wallpaper and bought it. the long journey from Paris started again. It traveled across the Atlantic Ocean, through various different channels and people, until finally it ended up on a steamboat called John Randolph, making its way to Nashville, Tennessee. When the boat docked, but before the contents could be unloaded, fire broke out on the boat. The fire spread and the steamboat exploded, killing 3 people, and everything on the boat caught fire, only to be put out as what was left of John Randolph sank to the bottom of the Cumberland River. Yet 2 crates floated up to the top, and one of those crates held General Andrew Jackson's beloved wife, Rachel's favorite wallpaper. The wreckage and crates were placed on the dock, and a sort of yard sale was held. The crew's manifest of what came from where and went to who was gone, destroying the fire. So the dock workers thought it best to make a quick buck off of whatever was left. The crate and paper was bought by a man named Mr. W.G.M. Campbell, who was at the time furnishing his new farm on Lebanon Road. The man had apparently bought the crate containing the paper without even looking in it. He paid a price that's unknown to us now for the chance of getting something valuable. The paper had been sold off to someone else and hanged on someone else's walls, and there was nothing really to be done. Jackson was forced to order the paper again. This time, however, he had it shipped to New Orleans, where he had someone go to the docks there, pick it up, and deliver it to him. They finally finished in 1836. And there it sat. Before her death in 1828, Rachel would use the scenes of the wallpaper to teach the many, many children she had passed through her home as what they called wards, but today we just say foster children. Many people danced around, watching the paper in the hall, when friends and family would take all the furniture out of the entrance and have musicians in the side parlors playing music so they could turn their entry hall into a ballroom. The paper would light up brilliantly by chandelier light, not candlelight. General Jackson would break out the whale oil chandelier that cost him $2.50 a gallon to run, and that he would only burn on the most very special of occasions, because back then, 50 cents bought you an acre of land. People who traveled and visited and stayed nights at the Hermitage would ask about it, ask what sort of story it told, and the family would probably tell them. And things were like that for a while. After Andrew Jackson died on June 8, 1845, the house and all those in it fell on harder times. The state had the house for a while and simply allowed the family to live on the property. Finally, in 1889, when the Ladies Hermitage Association, an association founded by friends and family of the Jacksons, took over, they found a home that was in the beginning stages of dilapidation. The beautiful wallpaper that once hung in that grand entrance hall was peeling. Pieces had been cut off by people who had broken into the empty house, seeking Andrew Jackson relics. Mold had set in on some sections. Scratches and rips pockmarked the rest of it. They had experts in antique wallpaper restoration come, work for 2 weeks straight, and finally, by 1890, the downstairs paper was restored to its former glory. The upstairs paper, however, took a bit longer. It wasn't replaced until 1904, when a young female artist named Mary Jennings participated in the World's Fair of 1904 in St. Louis, where a smaller-scale replica of Andrew Jackson's famous mansion was created. Miss Jennings spent 3 months in the Hermitage repainting the wallpaper onto a very thin canvas to be placed on the walls of the replica house. However, after the World's Fair had ended, she returned to the Hermitage and presented the hand-painted replica paper to the Ladies Association, and they were so enamored with it that they asked to hang it on their own walls. Coincidentally, for the next 30 years, people seeking stolen treasure, as one historian put, would break into the Hermitage after hours on occasion, and would again cut pieces off of the wallpaper. Only this time, the pieces that were stolen were of Miss Mary Jennings' canvas painting. After many restoration projects throughout the mid and late 20th century, finally, in the early 1990s, an antique set of wallpaper matching the Telemachus paper was acquired and hung upstairs to replace the upstairs paper. The Irigoyen family in France, who formerly hung the paper in their home in the Alps, sold the paper when they were in the process of moving. Through connections at the Louvre, the Ladies' Hermitage Association was able to purchase the paper from the Irigoyen family. Special conservators in France were able to remove the paper from the Irigoyen family's walls and prepare the paper to be shipped to the U.S. After its arrival, the Hermitage official wallpaper conservator, Christine Young, came to wash and line the antique paper before it was hung. After it was finally hung, Miss Young impainted losses and hand-painted two missing strips and the lost tops of several trees in the paper. Finally, she also toned all of the sky paper so that it would blend appropriately with the downstairs paper. For over 178 years, Rachel's favorite story has been told here at the Hermitage. She wanted it written on her walls for everyone to see when they came in. And at times, it seems that everything else was against that. The fire in the house, the boat John Randolph carrying the new paper exploding and sinking in the Cumberland River, Mr. W.G.M. Campbell taking it. Every single person who ever came in with a knife and cut a piece of their own out of the story. And the worst enemy of all, time. Slowly wearing down on it. Now, the wallpaper may not have come up with any idea as grand as the Trojan horse, or fought monsters of the sea during a 10-year trip home. But Odysseus made it home in 10 years at least. It took the wallpaper over 150 years to finally be saved and make it home and serve its purpose once again, to tell its story.
Thank you for listening to POTUS 7 today. If you have any questions, email us at podcast@thehermitage.com. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Pinterest, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram. That way you can stay up to date on everything that's happening here at Andrew Jackson's Hermitage. See you in 2 weeks.